Part 3. Hammer and Nails. The moment Engron was given mastery over us, we stopped being what the Emperor wanted and became what our father wanted instead. How could he have not foreseen the madness to come when it was he who made it happen? Or did he even care, so long as we spilt the blood that he needed spilled to expand his realm? If you desire to cast fault for the path that the 12th Legion embarked upon, the true blame could be placed nowhere other than at the throne of terror, at his feet. 8th Captain Khan, from his unpublished treatise, The 18 Legions. Chapter 21. Many years before, an alarm wailed across the whole of the 12th Legion. The call went out to every vessel, in every expeditionary fleet where the World Eaters fought across the span of the Great Crusade, asking a single, simple question. Is the Primarch aboard? The commanders of every ship scoured their decks, abandoning all but the most necessary of duties in search of the Legion's master. World Eaters covered every passage, chamber, and storeroom, casting light upon areas that had been dark for decades. But none of them would find Engron. It was then that comprehensive Auspex collating, taking count of every vessel at the 12th Legion's disposal, would detect the absence of the frigate Descending Edge. Engron was gone. Khan left the compliance that the bulk of the 12th was poised to begin to the other senior officers, translating from the system and taking three of the fleet's fastest ships with him. He would return with their father, or he would not return. 2 years passed. 2 years of leaping at shadows, of sifting through the trails left behind from long Cold War translations and the ghosts of Auspex traffic. 2 years before Khan would look down upon a world and the cold, inert shape of the Descending Edge hanging in its orbit. The frigate was a tomb, its decks lightless and its reactor heart cold. Khan and his brothers moved through the Descending Edge, swiftly combing every corridor and passageway in search of their father. All they found were bodies. Imperial warships were designed to function as parts of a greater whole, particularly smaller escort vessels like the Edge. A frigate of her size could operate independent of a fleet for a time, but 2 years was a long enough period away from resupply to deplete the onboard reserves needed to keep the ship and her crew alive. Malnourished shapes lay slumped in silent repose throughout the ship's corridors and habitation quarters. The squads of World Eaters searching across the interior districts voxed to Khan that the entirety of the vessel's rations and drinking water had been exhausted no sooner than 4 months prior. All that remained alive aboard the frigate were the servitors necessary for the ship's most basic operation. The living crew was gone, though Khan's squads did determine that some of the ship's sanctuary pods had been jettisoned. Standing on a bridge that was as silent as the rest of the Descending Edge, Khan ordered his brothers to return to their own ships, to coordinate the redistribution of crew and slaves needed to get the Edge operational and back to the Legion. As this logistical ballet played out, Khan rode his Stormbird down through the clouds of the planet below, a gently turning orb of amber and jade, covered in dense jungles and studded with colossal mountain ranges. That was the only place left for him to look, the last place that Engron could be. Khan had ordered the Legion's artificers, as they laboured alongside the Adepts of Mars, to forge Angron's armour, to place transponders within the dense bronze plates. This way, in the event that his father lost control and disappeared into the depths of the Conqueror, Khan and the Legion would be able to find him. It had felt like a betrayal in Khan's mind. Attaching such tethers to his own Primarch made him feel less a son and more a jailer, if Khan had ever had to use them. And to his shame, he now did. With a small squad of his brothers, Khan cut his way through the suffocating jungle that covered the surface of the planet, his eyes never straying from the Auspex chiming in his other hand. The device pulsed stronger the closer they came, and soon the world-eaters no longer had to hack away at the primordial vegetation obstructing them. A path had already been cleared. They walked deeper into the heart of the jungle, travelling across well-trodden ground. The canopies stole the sky above them, plunging them into a humid twilight. It became so dense overhead that Khan could not tell whether it was night or day when they finally found the cave. A ragged entrance yawned before them, as though some immense being had punched it into the base of the mountain the world-eaters had never even realized was there. The opening towered over Khan, nearly high enough to admit a Warhound Scout Titan. But what lay within was impossible to discern, as after a few meters, the interior plunged into total blackness. Khan knelt at the entrance to the cave. His fingers brushed over an impression made in the ground, a footprint, huge but unmistakably human. He smelt the air, taking in the scents of stone and vegetation, and caught the spice of blood.
"Wait here," said Khan,
gesturing for his brothers to remain outside the cave. He removed his helm and set it down along with the Auspex, but kept his axe. Their father had never respected a man who didn't have a weapon in his hand. The darkness of the cave enveloped Khan as he stepped inside. That strange hollow echo of subterranean life rang softly from the smooth stone walls. Every few seconds, the sharp drip of water would plink down from the tips of the stalactites that hung in clusters in the shadows overhead, the tiny movements of the droplets catching Khan's transhuman senses. A myriad of tunnels branched out before him, spreading in all directions, leading through the mountain. The passage that Khan would follow, though, was easy to choose. Of all the different paths for him to take, there was only one that was strewn with bones. He followed it, stepping over the loose bundles of ribs and skulls, careful not to snap any of them beneath his tread. There was a strange kind of care in the way they had been placed, like some kind of savage tribal shrine left in offering to a terrible god. The echoes grew louder and longer as the passage opened out to a vast cave. Khan's eyes pierced the gloom without trouble, but even so its full scale was hard to discern. Fluted columns of stalagmites rose from the floor like choirs of stone praetorians, rising behind a small mountain of bones that filled the centre of the cave. The brutal geology had a macabre grandeur to it, like a tomb or a throne room.
"I knew they would send you, Khan," a voice rumbled out from atop the great mound of bones. "I knew no matter where I went, one day I would find you standing there."
Relief flooded through Khan at hearing the voice of his father. His mind raced with things to say, to tell the Primarch of what had happened since his disappearance, of battles won and honours earned. But he pushed them aside. He had to ask Angron a question. The only question to ask.
"Why?"
"No people here," Angron said, as Khan looked over the scattered bones. "Not civilized ones, anyway. Just tribal bands. Simple creatures that bring me the bones of their kills and tell me of monsters."
The Primarch gestured to the immense fanged skull he sat upon, running his hand almost lovingly down the dirty length of its snout.
"Monsters for me to hunt and be hunted by, like in simpler times."
"No."
Khan shook his head. He took a step closer, standing at the foot of the mound.
"Angron, why are you here? Why have you left your legion?"
"I don't think this world has a name."
Angron ignored his son.
"This isn't the first one I went to. I've been to over a dozen during these past years, walking across their surfaces, trying to find something strong enough to kill me."
"To kill you?"
Khan narrowed his eyes.
Yes, Khan, said Angron impatiently. To kill me. I'm not supposed to be here any more.
Khan opened his mouth to speak, to press his genesire to talk sense, but no words came to him. Silence lingered between them in the darkness of the cave.
If you want to die,
Khan finally said to break the silence,
why not simply detonate the warp core of the descending edge? End it all in a single moment of fire, out in the void.
Because that is not the way they died,
Angron bellowed. He snorted, clawing bloody phlegm from the mashed ruin of his nose.
I wasn't there when it happened, where I was supposed to be, but I know how my family, my true family, met its end.
Angron hefted a crude axe of timber and napped flint in his fist, its edge flaking with the dried blood of some vast apex predator.
With weapons filling their hands and an enemy's blood on their faces, howling out their last breaths as they went to oblivion in honour, in glory. I was meant to die like that, Khan. With them.
His breathing slowed as he stared down at the axe.
I can't go back and die at their side. Like I was supposed to. He stole me away. Threw me out into this galaxy to fight his meaningless wars. But even then, nothing has changed.
Angron looked up.
I never left the hot dust, Khan. Not really. It's here, there, everywhere. It follows me, itching beneath my skin, coating my lungs in its poison. Your emperor,
Angron spat.
That thing that demands I call it father. He's just another high rider. The same master that has always been there, just wearing a different mask.
Angron clawed at his scalp. His fingers ran over the dull silver of the butcher's nails. Khan watched his father, knowing that the implants were spiking his blood with rage, torturing him until he relented to their demand to spill blood.
I won't meet my end serving as a tool of that golden tyrant who ripped me out from my destiny,
said Angron.
I won't give him that satisfaction. So I left. I left it all and went out here, hoping to find something that would end me the way I want, the way they did.
And what would they say to you? Said Khan. Your brothers and sisters, if they saw you now. They looked up to you. They needed you. And they fought by your side to the death without you ever having to ask. What would they say, seeing you abandon us? Those who look up to you and need you and would die for you to run away to sit alone and maudlin in this cave. If they were anything like you say they were, sire, they would call you a coward.
Angron rose from the skull. Khan stood his ground as his father descended, bones scattering and tumbling down in a clattering cascade in the Primarch's wake.
Do you think because I didn't kill you after Deshea that I never will?
Angron's hands tensed into claws.
You think I won't pull your head from your neck if I choose to?
Of course not, answered Khan. You are a Primarch.
He tapped his heart with his fingertips.
My Primarch. My life was yours before we ever found you. To do with as you see fit.
Angron snorted and spat blood onto the floor of the cave.
Then go away, Khan. Go back to fighting your nothing wars for that high rider tyrant.
Your legion needs you, Khan pressed. Your sons need you.
You aren't my sons. I never wanted you, and I didn't make you. He did. So go and haunt him, why don't you? I never asked for any of this. I never asked to be thrown into the stars, to be nothing more than a slave building another man's dream.
It isn't just his dream, Angron. It is humanity's. The empire we are building, it will belong to all of us.
Empire!
Angron sneered the word.
What empire has ever been anything more than the ruins that are discovered by the one that rises after it? They never last, Khan. Ever. And neither will this one.
It will, said Khan. If you help us to build it. If you lend your strength in laying its foundations by standing at the head of your legion and fighting to unite all of humanity.
The humanity... You want to unite,
Angron said softly, glancing up and slowly pacing around in the dark.
They kept us in caves, like this, Khan. The High Riders. Thousands of us, packed against one another in the dark, in the cold. That is what we do with our own, killing and enslaving each other in fear and weakness. They aren't strong enough. None of you are. You just aren't strong enough.
Then come back with me, pleaded Khan. Return and show us the way. Teach your sons to be as strong as their father. We will do whatever you ask of us. I swear that oath to you now and always.
Angron stopped. For a long moment there was silence between them, save for the soft pattering of moisture in the cave and the Primarch's pained breath. Slowly Angron looked back at Khan, the absence of light doing nothing to dispel the intensity of his yellowed, glaring eyes.
Whatever I command.
When Khan's thoughts returned to the present, they did so in a wave that crashed across every one of his senses. The thrumming rattle of servitors and machines, layered with the hurried movement and speech of Medicaid thralls. The cold prickling at his bare flesh, the tang of counterseptics and of ozone bleeding from active machinery, both filling his nose and coating his tongue. And the white glare of high-powered lumen globes, painfully bright as they focused on him in the last moments before the surgery began.
For the implantation, we will need you to stand.
The apothecary gestured towards a recessed surgical pit cut into the deck of the apothecarium. Khan stepped down into the pit, his face bearing its usual calm facade, as servitors affixed restraints and chains that splayed his limbs wide and locked them in place. A heavy iron collar encased his neck and the lower half of his face to keep him from moving his head.
We begin,